Maud Barlow, National Chairperson of the Council of Canadians, was in New Brunswick earlier this week, visiting with communities that have been protesting SWN Resources Canada's seismic testing in Kent County. Last night, August 6th, Barlow spoke to a crowd of about 500 people in Moncton. Barlow has received 11 doctorates, numerous awards, and has spoken out in defense of water and against the technique of hydraulic fracturing for years now. I was fortunate enough to catch up with Barlow by telephone yesterday before her Moncton speaking engagement. For the Halifax Media Co-op, I'm Miles Howe. So Maud Barlow, you've been driving around New Brunswick today in response. People were calling out for you to come and show some support. What have you seen during your trip?
Well, people are very passionate about protecting their water from shale gas here in New Brunswick. I mean, it is very clear. I think if we were to hold some kind of a referendum, maybe not right away, but within a few months, I think you'd find the vast majority are opposed to this fracking project. And people are feeling really angry that the government would allow this seismic testing. They know that it's going to lead to just widespread operations, and that's the intent, without proper consultation, without any sense of safeguards, environmental or health safeguards. And people feel really passionately this is their water, and they're just simply not going to let it happen. And I think this government does not understand the depth of the anger and the depth of the commitment to deal with this. I don't think they understand it yet.
Where has this government in particular gone wrong? They've sort of opened up free rein for this, for much of the province to be seismic tested. What's wrong with that scenario in your mind?
Well, it's just going to lead to the assumption that they're moving ahead with full-blown operations. And once that happens, I mean, you can look to places like the Hope River in northeastern British Columbia, where they've just destroyed an entire watershed, or the wilderness and rural areas of Pennsylvania, where they've fracked so intensively, or are fracking so intensively, you can see the images from satellite. I mean, we know the damage that fracking does, and when it's intensive and large scale, we're talking large scale damage to whole watersheds. We're talking about potential displacement of communities, the poisoning of the water of communities. It just seems to me that when a government really means that they're studying it and thinking about it, with maybe some testing, that's one message. But when the message is there's testing going on in 8 counties, and we're hearing stories that it's already sort of drilling, and that the message is really pro fracking, and that you've got the industry here behind it, the government behind it, you got the federal government behind it. You basically send the signal that it's a fait accompli. It's done. It's not something that anybody has a chance to stop. And so I think that's the feeling here of the need to protest and the need to really stand up, because people don't feel that they're being heard.
What about the notion, I mean, New Brunswick has this relatively high unemployment rate. Does the argument that this will provide much needed employment hold water, as it were?
Well, I understand the concern, believe me. My family comes from New Brunswick, and I know there's been higher unemployment here for a long time than in many other parts of the country, and certainly we need jobs. But if we destroy our water, if we destroy even parts of our water heritage here in the province, we're going to also destroy other livelihoods like fisheries and farms and farmers and, our food and other production. So, I mean, one can say it'll create jobs, but if they're not jobs that are safe for the environment and safe for the community, you may be creating other jobs called cleanup jobs, So I think we care about jobs, but we care about the right kind of jobs. We care about jobs that are going to protect the environment so that we have sustainable work for future generations. And that's really important. That's a really important concept for us.
Now, being a New Brunswicker yourself, can you speak a little bit to perhaps the role of the Irving Empire in all of this, in collusion, in sort of potential media suppression of this message that's trying to get out?
Well, certainly it's very widely here that the Irving industry here is very powerful, and many people work for them. If you don't work for them, you've got a family member who does. And there's a great feeling here that it's hard to speak out. It's very hard to actually have your voice heard. because of the Irving influence and, of course, the influence on the newspapers. So it's harder to get your one voice out than it absolutely should be. But I think that we're going to find that with the role of social media and with the amount of anger and the amount of concern that I'm experiencing and hearing on this trip, I don't think that the Irvings or anybody else are going to be able to stop the depth of the concern that people are feeling around shale gas.
Now, New Brunswick itself as a province doesn't have much. I think it lags pretty far behind in the way of environmental regulations. How is the federal government allowed this to happen? What kind of regulations are we missing? What's been removed by the Harper government that has allowed this scenario to take place where we now see people literally throwing themselves under machinery in order to try to make it stop?
Well, they've absolutely gutted, the Harper government has gutted all of the freshwater protections that we had. Although they weren't properly enforced, they existed. We have the Fisheries Act that was gutted. We have the Navigable Waters Protection Act. We have the Canadian Environmental Assessment Act. They removed 3,000 assessments that were being done or slated to be done when that legislation came in. And now 99% of our rivers and lakes are no longer protected from, any kind of pipeline, no matter what it is that it would be bringing in. The Eastern pipelines can go through any watershed that it wants now because those lakes and rivers are unprotected. So it's not that they were always, as good as they should be or as enforced as they should be, but they existed and they were tools that Canadians had. And I think what's happening with this government in New Brunswick is it's taking advantage of the decreased environmental protections in the country. And I think we're just moving steadily backward. And, we're a planet running out of fresh, accessible water, and this is something people need to understand. We who live in the part of the world that have more water than some other parts have a responsibility to take care of it. And it is simply the worst thing we could do right now to be putting our freshwater heritage in this province at risk through shale gas. We need to wean ourselves off of fossil fuel by allowing this kind of fracking or the pipeline that people are now talking about, the Eastern pipeline. We're continuing with the bad old way of meeting our energy needs. There are other countries that are moving in a different direction. They have governments that are committed to a different direction, and we need to tell our governments that this is what we want them to do.
We've heard the idea that with this removal of these protections, that this government has left something of a vacuum in terms of where regulations once were. Are there possibilities for people, for grassroots groups, to begin to at least suggest or create their own regulations as we see fit?
Well, what's happened in New York State is that over 120 municipalities have passed local ordinances. They've got their municipalities to pass bylaws or ordinances, basically saying they don't want shale gas fracking in their community. Now, whether this would hold up in a court of law is a very good question. But certainly there's no question that it's an expression of the will of the people. And I think it's a very important concept that if your government's not doing what it should do, that we're just going to start asserting our rights. We're finding First Nations communities saying, you can't come in here. We don't want you here. We never ceded the land. We never ceded the water. And you're not welcome here. There was no prior informed consent here. And we don't want you here. And I think we need to start getting to the municipalities, getting to communities around the province and saying one at a time, if our government won't take the responsibility to do this right, we're going to say it.
Aside from people rolling up their sleeves, going and getting arrested, for example, what are some of the actions that people can be doing in their own communities to potentially not feel so powerless in the face of industry that is threatening their very livelihood?
Well, the more education that can happen, the more they can talk to their neighbors, the more they can go to their churches or their community groups or the people they work with and talk to them and bring them the information, the more they can put it on Facebook, the more public they can make this and get the information out about just how dangerous this form of gas operation and mining is to our water. the better, because we need to make this widespread and we need to get to city people. I think that a lot of rural communities are feeling that it's going to be their water that gets hit to provide gas for the cities, and we need to get urban people as well as rural people understanding how important it is to protect our precious water resources.
Okay, thanks so much for your time, Maud.
My pleasure, Miles.